My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Lambert, recording this episode for Sunday, September 11th, 2022. Never forget. Remember, as always, you could subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts, give this show a five-star review, or wherever you go to get your podcast, give it a five-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. Subscribe for $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. This is episode 598. I'm not alone. I have a super special return guest that you know and love, Mr. Tim Hall, a.k.a. the People's Critic. How the hell are you, my man?
I'm good. When you say super, I feel like I need like a cape and like superpowers or something. I need to do something more exciting when I come on.
You being here is the excitement. I think the several hundred people that listen to this are excited that they don't have to listen to just me talk about The Last of Us or some place that I paid way a lot of money for to get food there, way more than I should have, or anything. Just to not hear me ramble for an hour or so.
Chris, I love those stories because you said
yeah. Well,
it's good information to be like, yo, I ate this food and it was good, or it wasn't worth the money. That's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. At least somebody's into it, man. So were you watching college football?
I'm watching the end of Texas, Alabama. Texas is driving to possibly win the game with 3 minutes.
Oh,
left.
Shit. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Bama's won.
Is that an in conference game this early?
I don't even know. I think so. I don't know.
Or Texas is Big 12 or whatever. Big 12, yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
It's a big game, though.
Yeah. That's a big game for the beginning of the week, the beginning of the year.
And early game, too. Not like one of those evening games in LSU or anything like that.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. I've been off college football for a long time. I used to keep up with it. All those guys used to have the big almanacs, and I used to know all those guys. I think it kind of ended after they stopped making NCAA college football.
I used to love that game.
Yeah, it was the shit.
They're supposedly
bringing it back. I don't know how true it is, but they're supposedly bringing it back.
Are you playing 2K or Madden, or are you just off those games?
I just got 2K yesterday, and it's downloading now. And they let you play practice or shoot around, because it takes a long time to copy.
Yeah, it does.
So I got that, and I played around on that, like Golden State versus the Celtics. It's pretty much the same. This is just a reasonable facsimile of the last one.
Yeah.
Added some new shit, but I like it, but I just haven't played it enough, you know?
So when you play it, you play like a full season? Do you play just the playoffs? Like, what are you doing?
I normally do a season where I play like five or six games and don't play anymore. Oh my God. They got my money, dog.
Who are we playing with? Who's your team?
Who did I used to play? Man, I used to play with Golden State before they were super hot. when they just had a nice squad, when they just, it was just Curry and Clay and it was Jarrett Jack. So what was that? That was like maybe 2K13 or something.
13 or 14.
Like
yeah.
Yeah. When I started getting heavy in the stand up, I was, when I really started, maybe like 4 or 5 years in, they started to get really good. I think Curry came in the league a little after, before I started doing stand up. And I just remember coming home late nights and they would still be playing. So I would be watching them. And I always liked Steph Curry because he's from North Carolina and just rooted for him. And now he's just like he just changed the face of the game. He changed the way people play basketball. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, they used to make fun of him. Oh, his ankles are like Doritos. And
oh, yeah.
I was like, he'll show you.
He had an ankle problem when he first
got
him.
And the Knicks could have had him, right? I think.
The Knicks could have had him. A lot of teams could have had him.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just think how crazy New York would be if Curry was doing the same thing he's doing here. At Golden State.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's but yeah, I like 2K, and I just don't, I'm just not fully immersed in it, you know, like I am with The Last of Us. I mean, I played the demo, the remake came out last week and I was playing that, and I enjoyed it. It's amazing.
It's a fun game.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then Madden I haven't played yet. I bought it under the auspices of my friends saying that they wanted to play online. So
it hasn't happened yet.
It has not happened yet. It's only been a week or two. It's only been a couple weeks. So one of my buddies that he was out of town, out of the country with his now fiance. So I guess that's fucking important. Like you gotta go get engaged and shit. And I was like, all right. And then he hit me up. He's like, I'm downloading it, but so we'll see what happens, man. Maybe it'll be the Ravens.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah, black quarterback that can run.
Yeah.
Scramble.
I would be disappointed if you didn't play with the black quarterback. I'm just being honest with you right now.
You know, it would either be that or him or Josh Allen. You know,
it was close enough.
Yeah. he's like a Roethlisberger without the rape.
Pretty much.
Like a more of, I guess, maybe a Dante Culpepper?
Yeah. That kind of big arm talent, big body.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hard to take down.
Yeah. I just don't know. I don't know the personnel. So, but I think just to start out, maybe I would go with the Ravens. I don't know. I like Mahomes. I like all the black quarterbacks.
Yeah. My dad used to love Dante Culpepper.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he loved any black quarterback. When he started trying to up Cleo Lemon, I told him he'd gone too far.
Who did Cleo play with? Who? Refresh my
Miami.
Mind.
He was in Miami.
That's right.
I was like, Pops, this ain't. I get it, but this ain't it. Turn the franchise around.
What was the guy from Florida State that Felder got on me for liking?
Who?
As a black guy, and he was with the EJ Manuel.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I remember it was just the funniest shit. Like, I was like, what about EJ Manuel, man? You need to give him a shot. And he's like, Chris, he's not good.
You know, the funny thing, I love listening to people like Felder and, you know.
Yeah.
On the Firestarter podcast, K-Bad, talk about in a way that's understandable and digestible. And they're not, like, talking down to you. They explain it in a way that makes sense.
Right.
Players and tendencies in a way that makes sense. When you watch some of these TV, these sports shows, I'm like, what are these dudes talking about?
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating, isn't it? Because it's just like, it's just word salad.
Yeah, it's just words, a whole bunch of nothing.
Yeah, it's like, what are you talking about? So I don't really, I listen to Firestarter when they talk about sports. You know, I always listen to Bo and Foxworth. I was talking about that earlier. Every now and then I listen to Levitard. I'll have it on while I'm going to sleep on their YouTube show. But occasionally I peek in, but it's just been different. Like I've just kind of shifted to where my favorite channel is YouTube, really.
Right. Nah. Wow. Texas is up 2 with 1:29 left. I spent way too much money this week. And part of those expenses was I pre-ordered Gotham Knights.
Okay, when does that come out? Is it October?
October 20th.
Oh, that's pretty soon. All right.
Pretty soon. I'm excited. I don't know if you saw, they're trying to do like this two-player kind of co-op thing where, like, so if you're playing and I come in co-op with you and do your missions with you, when I go back to play my missions, when we get to that point in the game, it'll ask me, do I want to do this mission again? I can play it again. If I don't, because we've already beat it, it'll just fast forward through that.
So we could essentially beat that game together.
Yes. So it sounds, I've never done it. They've kind of explained the thing. I think it was IGN was saying they still haven't had any, you know how it is, right?
Yeah.
Hands on with the game, the reaction time to the game, the buttons, all that stuff that makes the game either glitchy or smooth. So no one's actually played it yet.
Okay. But
they've explained the game, and the way they explained it, it sounds cool and it looks cool. I like the open world they're doing with Gotham. I like the characters you can play with. So yeah, I'm excited to play. I'm taking some time off work. I'm going to just sit and just play the game.
It looks good. It looks pretty good. I mean, it's just all those games, when you really get down to it.
Yeah.
Even my favorite game, like The Last of Us, they're all the fucking same.
They're all the same.
All those third person, they're all the fucking same, dude. And it's just kind of like, okay, do I want to get now? Nah, I got to just get behind this and really lock in and play. But it does. It looks fine, you know.
I hope the story's good, because we don't know the story. The story, I mean, the over sort of arcing thing is the Court of Owls. That's all. They don't know much about. They know Harley Quinn. Quinn's in it.
Yeah.
Man, rogue villains we know, but that's it. So. Yeah. What the story is going to be, because that's going to, that either, as you know, someone who plays these games a lot, that's going to make or break the game.
I saw a couple of videos on it, and it looks fine. I haven't even beat that. I think the homie JL was playing one of the last Batman games, and I have it, but I never finished it. It's like Arkham Knights or something like that.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah. Yeah, because the last superhero game I played was Avengers. And I bought that because of the Black Panther DLC.
Yeah.
Which was pretty fun. But with that game, my favorite character was Miss Marvel.
Yeah, she was,
She was the best character to me. And had the best power up. So
now look at them trying to woke up the video games, making
it all fucking woke on us. Anytime there's a person of color, it's all fucking woke, bro. Megan Thee Stallion and She-Hulk twerking.
Oh, I know, right? Whoa.
Who gives a shit? I like it. Dude, the thing is, okay, this is the only thing that made me roll my eyes.
Okay.
I love me some Tatiana Maslany. You don't have to make her a big fucking green monster to think she's hot.
No. It's funny. I think that people don't find her hot when she's not She-Hulk is like, really?
Yeah, it's like the suspension of disbelief that you have to go through where she's in that the latest episode where she's dating those guys.
Yeah.
And the guy she finally hooks up with as She-Hulk, he's like, oh, why you're not, I'm leaving. I was like, what?
It's like those 90s rom-coms where the nerdy girl just has on, she's a supermodel with glasses and a pullback. And we're supposed to believe that no one in school wants to date her. Like,
It's like the glasses are off. Her glass, she doesn't even have glasses. Like, it's Tatiana Maslany. I know there's a script and everything, but God damn. I almost bumped into her at the IFC Center like a few years ago in New York where, she's tiny, bro.
Really?
Tiny.
She's such a good. I loved her I love Orphan Black.
Orphan Black, she was good. It got a little too weird. Once they started having 1,500 clones and shit, it was like, okay, it's time for this to be over. But she's a terrific actress. I like her. The show is it's fine. You know,
I laughed a lot during the last episode.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, where does this Madison girl come in? What's her name? Is she just a new person?
Yeah, I think she's new. I don't remember her at all in the comics, but
okay, all right, yeah, it's pretty cool. I didn't watch that mid-season trailer they put out.
Yeah, I laughed out loud when the attorney started doing magic in the courtroom.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's pretty good. It's fine. Like I don't. It's entertainment. I don't really. I don't really put too much on the that show. I like her. I'm gonna watch.
Did you see the trailer for Secret Invasion?
No.
It looks good, man.
It's a D23. The only thing I saw was the game with Captain America and Black Panther.
Yeah.
And the Little Mermaid trailer.
Yeah. The Secret Invasion trailer, it looks nice. It looks like Captain America Winter Soldier all over again. Like espionage.
Uh-huh.
Some aliens. It looks great. So
you went to Seattle Comic Con, right?
I did.
How was it?
It was fun. It was different this year. I mean, Saturday is like the busy day. It was busy, but not like crazy busy. I didn't go to any panels. I just kind of walked around in a costume the whole time and took a bunch of pictures.
You wore a costume?
I did. I dressed like the grabber from The Black Phone.
Oh, I didn't see. Did you post any pictures?
No, I'll send you a picture. I had like a.
Okay. Because I didn't know. I know that you went, but I didn't know if you. I didn't know. Was this your first time dressing up?
My first time, like really legitimately, like investing in dressing up.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, it was weird because I ended up taking a bunch of photos. The funny thing is, there were a bunch of parents asking me to take pictures with their kids. They were like, "Oh my God, this is so great! Can you take a picture with my kid?" And I was like, "I'll do it if you."
Okay, Aries Spears.
Yeah. But then they had like, but so it was funny. Like the little kids.
Mm-hmm.
Balloons and just be like balloon. They wanted a black balloon.
Oh no.
They didn't care. They had a mask on, nothing. They just wanted a balloon. So I was giving these little kids balloons and the parents were hilarious.
I would have been freaked out. I was freaked out at birthday parties where like I had a birthday party at Showbiz Pizza and they had the
wow.
Yeah, that's taking it back. And they had the, you know, it's your birthday and the animatronic things and they'd make you come up there. I used to be scared.
Yeah,
I used to cry at that, and my parents were like, "We paid all this fucking money, boy.
You better straight up and enjoy this party.
Get your ass up there." But yeah, it's good. Good. That was good. So it was fun.
It was fun, man. It's just there's something about to me the joy for me that so in 60 seconds, I saw this little black kid dressed as the Flash, and he's like running around,
yeah,
trying to outrun his mom. She's trying to catch up to him and he thinks he's the Flash.
Yeah.
And then there was another dad explaining there was some artwork for Star Wars. He was explaining the artwork, like what it meant and what these planets were to his kids. And it was like this, he was like teaching them about Star Wars. So it's like, oh, this is what this kind of con stuff is for, to see people really in the stuff, to see a bunch of young black and brown kids there this year was great. Just seeing people obsessed with the fandom, even if I don't know what it is, from into it, to see people that engrossed in it.
Yeah.
Always like, man, it's just people getting together to have a good time and no one's fighting, ain't no beef, ain't no.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of people in there and there's no incidents. There's no, people are polite, people are welcoming. That's the beauty of it.
That's great. I mean, that's what it's about. That's one of the good things of being back from COVID, you know, it's still out there. I mean, I got my second booster this past Wednesday. It's open for us now because it's everybody. When I got mine, there were kids getting it, there were elderly people getting it. So it's out there.
Well, Chris, Texas is up one with 10 seconds left.
Oh wow, you're gonna be a lot of
heartbreaking. Heartbreaking Austin.
Going to be a lot of frowny faces, frowny Nick Saban memes on Twitter today. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Alabama's up one.
Shit. Oh, okay.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah.
We'll scratch that.
There's going to be a lot of fans with now, you know, they're doing a montage of a shot of the crowd. And this is what I love about college sports. There's always a fan with their hands on top of their heads.
Yeah.
They can't believe what they just saw. That's the best part of it. The fan, it looks like, oh my God, somebody ripped my soul out. But have you ever been to a game? Have you ever been to a game where something like that has happened at the end of the game?
I don't think so. I don't know. I have to really think about that.
I went to a Seahawks Rams playoff game once. It was most notable because it was so cold outside. I had like hand warmers in my shoes, in my pockets. But we're at the end zone where the Seahawks are driving to win the game.
Who's the quarterback?
Hasselbeck. This is where Russell got there, right?
Okay.
Hasselbeck throws the ball to Bobby Engram. Throwback. Mm-hmm. From our viewpoint, it looks like he caught it. So there's an immediate like, oh my God. And then I look at Hasselbeck and he slumped over like he got shot. Oh my God. And I look at Bobby Engram, he's got his hands on his helmet. I was like, then I look over at the Rams sideline, they're sprinting on the field. It's like Marshall Faulk running and screaming. Mm-hmm. I was like, he dropped the ball. And you're kind of because you don't, there's no commentary, it's happening in real time, and it's hard to sort of process like what a gut punch loss that is.
Yeah, that's crazy. I just remember going to games and seeing how really when you're at the event, live event, how talented those guys really are and how big are too. Like I remember going to a preseason game with my dad and one of his friends from childhood. We had seats on the 50-yard line. It was a preseason game. But it was like the Redskins and somebody else. And just remember when LeVar Arrington was, you know, before he got injured and his, you know, young, you know, player. Just amazing how fast those dudes are. How talented.
I went to a Mariners game the other week and we were behind home plate. And I'll never complain about somebody not hitting the ball again. He hit the plate so fast. And I was like, I'm good. Yeah. I don't know how people runs. I was like, I don't know how they do it.
I went to a All-Star Fan Fest at Camden Yards, I think 90. Whenever the All-Star game was at Camden Yards in Baltimore, and my dad and I went to the Fan Fest, we missed Ken Griffey Jr. at the Home Run Derby hitting the.
Oh, wow. No.
Yeah, we wanted to get into that, but for some reason we didn't get it. But anyway, they had a thing where at the convention center where you could get in a batting cage and you can go against like a pitcher, a major league pitcher, and you'd see the guy. It was like Jim Palmer, I think, and he'd wind up and throw, and it'd be like you just like whoop. I think my dad probably had a foul ball or he made contact. But he used to be a really good baseball player when he was young. But it was just like, I just have respect, man. That's why I don't get too mad when they fuck up. You know, you get kind of like, oh, this guy fucking sucks. But you know, I've never been that guy all the way, but like I respect it, but you know, some guys do suck and they do, you know.
Dropping wide open passes, like, come on, man, you could have.
Yeah, you could have had that, but so Comic-Con was good. That was like a month or two ago, right?
Yeah, about a month ago. Yeah. And they moved it because usually in like March, April. Mm-hmm. But because of COVID, there was one in December last year. And I think they just moved on the calendar. So I don't know the next one. I don't think they're going to just move back to that original spring date. Mm-hmm. That's a better time of year to have it.
Yeah.
But we'll see. It was fun. I love it every year. I'm glad I go every year. I'll try to dress up every year now because that was fun. Different experience.
What is the atmosphere like now because you're in a big city with the Seahawks, with the changes that they've undergone with no Russell?
I mean, I think people are of two minds. There are people who think they're going to be better than people think they are. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those people. I think they're not going to be good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talent.
Who's your quarterback?
Right now it's what's his name? They brought in Drew, he's not gonna start. Geno Smith.
Oh shit. Okay.
I like Geno, but I mean they're in a tough division with the Rams, the Niners, Cardinals. They're outside division games against the AFC West that everyone in that division loaded up in the offseason and added weapons. Yeah. They don't really have any blue chip player other than probably Metcalf, but we don't know what kind of player he's going to be without Russell Wilson.
Right. Who's going to get him if Geno can get him the ball? Yeah.
Bobby Wagner's gone. He's now in LA. They don't really have much, and they should be bad. Like, I don't know why you'd want them to be mediocre. Like, be terrible. Draft that kid out of Alabama as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Start fresh.
Do you think you'll get offered more tickets to games?
Not early on, because the first game is obviously Russell coming home back here on that football. But I think as the season goes along and they're terrible, you can't account for it. You can't account for being 1-5. You're going into Tampa to play. You're like, I'm not finna be chasing Tom Brady around. Like, we 1-5. Like, people giving up before the game starts. That's going to be in real soon.
Yeah. Because I think if I got a hookup, I would go to a Giants, or my boss used to give me preseason tickets. Last year, I didn't. Yeah. But that was like a couple years ago. So, it was before COVID happened. She would give me tickets.
I'll go see any team.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, if you got me some tickets, I'll go watch anything. Like, I'm down.
And it's pretty dope, like, in where I live, because it's 20 minutes away. Mm-hmm. If the game's whack, all you do is just hop on your, just get back in the car and go back home. Yeah. It's not bad. It's like the commute. Yeah. They get everybody out. You know what I mean? It's not the traffic system is legit. It's like really good. Yeah. So it's not too bad of a problem.
So you're not playing fantasy football, I imagine.
No, I always say Madden's the closest thing I do, and I barely do that. Like, I'll have, last year, I was talking about this on Patreon. Like, I didn't watch anything because I was working on the show, and every now and then I'd look at my phone and have Red Zone on. But tomorrow I'll definitely turn on Red Zone and probably just kind of just chill, watch. But I gotta, I'll watch my Raising Kanan first. But yeah, like it's still like it's as American as apple pie. As much as I'll say, like, I don't really like it that much anymore because my dad's dead. But it's like it's like, even before, it's still a part of me. You know what I mean?
It's in our culture.
It's our culture, and that's how we are about. That's my soccer. You know what I mean? Like, I really, I was saying this, I like the fact that these players, these NFL players in particular, are more visible off the field. Like, you kind of know who they are. It was kind of weird seeing Jalen Ramsey do a podcast where he's like, yeah, we got our ass kicked.
I saw that. I was like, oh, well, I'm glad he's honest about it.
Yeah. It was just like, they're doing that now. Cause let me look him up, man. He's 27.
Yeah,
he's been in the league for a long time.
He's quarterback. I love Cooper Kupp. He's my keeper on my fantasy league.
Yeah. Since 2015. Man,
it feels racist the way he does these black DBs. It's like, man, he be killing them, man. He killed Eli Apple in the Super Bowl.
I think I tweeted one time, like, he should get a BET award.
He's good, man. Like, that guy, it's funny. I listened to was a panel of DBs talking about him. And they were talking about, I think it was sorry that he can't be on TV right now, because I think he's really good. Mm-hmm. Kib Talib was talking about how.
Oh, why can't he be on TV?
He was involved in a situation where his brother killed that person.
Oh, he was there or something?
Yeah, he was like instigated. So the rumor, allegedly, he instigated the incident at that Pee Wee football game. His brother gets involved.
Oh, my God.
Kills that guy. And then he leaves the scene with his brother.
Killing somebody at a Pee Wee football game?
Yeah, he leaves with his brother. And so his brother eventually turned himself in, but then he decided to step away from, because Amazon paid him a bunch of money to come in and be part of their whatever they're doing.
Oh, man, that's wow. Yeah. I didn't know that. I knew it was some kind of drama, but I didn't realize that. Because he was really good, right?
It was good. He was good on TV.
Yeah. Jalen's been on. Go ahead.
They were saying, like, that Cooper Kupp is, like, bigger than he looks in person. He's faster than he looks. He's stronger than he looks. And then he'll catch everything. And they're like, that's a tough combination.
He's 6'2", 194.
See, Cooper Douglas sounds like a Confederate soldier.
Cooper Kupp. He has that beard. Does he have that Ryan Fitzpatrick? Oh, he shaved it off.
He shaved it off. Now he's good. He went to school up here. He's from Yakima out here, went to Eastern Washington. He's good.
Jalen's been in since 2016.
It's a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time. I mean, Darrell Revis had a long career as a DB.
And but you remember he started getting cooked. You were like, oh.
Yeah, he started good, but it was like, and then Ed Reed, but Ed Reed's not a cornerback. He wasn't a cornerback.
And Ed Reed's not human, bro. I watched his highlights. He just did no other person could do.
Yeah, I was listening to Dominique Foxworth talk about what he learned how to watch tape from Ed Reed, like saying, like, you looking at the tape, what your job is, but you look at the quarterback and you got to start thinking like the quarterback, you know, why you're making these throws and all that stuff like that.
I just remember Belichick talking about Ed Reed. Mm-hmm. And Belichick never gives anyone any props. And he was like, that guy. He would get like this. He started glowing like just as a football mind. Like, man, that dude is something special. Like, Belichick in his prime when they're there, that's someone who you're competing against every week is like, yeah, that guy's special.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah. Oh, his birthday's tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday, Ed Reed.
We're putting this up on the 11th. Happy birthday, Ed Reed, man.
Yeah, Ed Reed, man. If you get a chance, you've never seen highlights of Ed Reed, go to YouTube. It, you'll be in for a treat.
Fucking beast.
Yeah.
How long did he play? He was 02 to 2013.
That's a long time.
Yeah, man. He's a monster. Yeah. I want to talk about, before we get into this review, I want to talk about what have you been watching? What have you seen recently that you like?
Last night, I watched The Woman King.
Really? How was it?
Man, I'm so glad it was good. I didn't want to do one of those that I couldn't talk about.
I was nervous with that little pause, man. I was nervous. I was like, oh, no.
I didn't want one of those movies I couldn't talk about. Be like, yeah, it was good. It was solid. It's
okay.
The only negative is like it drags a little.
Uh-huh. But
that's only because they're setting up obviously the finale and,
2 hours and 14 minutes.
Yeah. It could have easily been like 2 hours.
Mm.
Could have been a little shorter. But I end up setting up other things. It's fine. It doesn't my enjoyment.
I got my ticket for this coming Thursday. Wait, on the 15th.
Yeah.
So I'm excited because they showed the trailer again. So I'm like, and they're killing colonizers.
Man, Lashana Lynch she needs to be in more action movies, bro. That was my takeaway when I left. I was like, she needed to be in more. She was in Bond.
Uh-huh. Yo,
put more stuff. But all them women, they're all good. Everyone's good in it. John Boyega's good as the king. It's great. The main sort of villain guy in it is evil and enough for you to hate his face. Like, they do a good, one of them guys, every time we show his face on screen, I'm like, man, this guy, man, get him out of here. But well done. No, obviously, Viola Davis she's fantastic.
She
has those emotional moments. She's going to give us some tears.
Of course.
They're the soul out of people. But the young girl who plays Naoi, she's good. Like, I've never seen her in anything before. She's good.
She was Underground Railroad. She's amazing. Well,
that's where she's from. I was like,
yeah,
she's good. The story sort of centers around her having to join into the King's Guard.
And the other woman, Sheila.
She's good. Yeah.
She played her mother in Underground Railroad.
She's good in it too. What else? She was in something else too.
Bruised, the Halle Berry movie, Doctor Strange.
Oh, Doctor Strange.
Pinocchio.
Bruised. She was in Bruised. That's what it was. I was like, I saw her as Bruised.
Yeah. She was.
She's good.
Yeah. She was Wong's girl, I guess, in Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Solid movie, man. I think people are going to like it. I'm glad that it's a cool story. It just makes me want to go back to Africa. It's a beautiful country with beautiful people and the culture. Like, there's a celebration in the movie. And it reminded me when we were in Ghana, they did the celebration because we put in this computer lab.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know how it is here. Like, oh, we're going to do a celebration. I'm like, oh, I bet. But we showed up. When they talk about a celebration, bro, it was a celebration.
Okay.
They set us down. It was full on dancers and music and food. I was like, yo, this is a real I thought it was like, you know, here to do like a ribbon cutting. Nah.
Yeah.
A party, bro. And I was like, oh, this is how y'all get down?
Nice. I'm excited. I'm excited for it.
The students came out in like this full, I have a picture I'll send to you, in like this full Ghanaian outfits with face paints, and they were doing these traditional dances. And I was like, man, this is, I got emotional watching it. I was like, man, this is our culture that we sort of don't really get access to all the time.
When were you out there?
This was 2011.
Okay.
In 11, around then.
Yeah. You saw as was anything else? Did you saw Honk for Jesus? Right? Weren't we talking about that on?
I did see Honk for Jesus? Yeah.
Man, I was disappointed in that one.
What didn't you like about it?
Well, you know, I think it might have had something to do with the marketing. Yeah. The way it was billed, I kind of got hyped for a Christopher Guest type mockumentary.
Right.
And at the first 15 to 20, maybe the first half hour, I was like, oh shit. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, we're getting somewhere. And then it just got really dark really fast. And I think it was
dark.
And it just got sad because the reveal for the Sterling K. Brown character was like, oh man, okay. Well, this guy's he's not who he truly is. And you know, I don't, because I saw some critics say, oh, they're lampooning the church or the mega church and all that.
Yeah.
I don't think it was lampooning. They were knives, guns out, everything.
Yeah.
It's basically like an Eddie Long type thing, you know.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it was just kind of like, but then these kids, you know, yeah, you were kind of grooming them, because if you're older, you are definitely at fault. But some of these guys are old enough to know, like, yo, if you don't want to be involved in this, or the kids being taken advantage of. But I thought Sterling K. Brown and Regina Hall were terrific.
Yeah.
I was just kind of wanting a little more from like how whatever they were doing, how it affected the town, because every time they went to a denizen of that town, it became fun. It was more colorful. Like when they interviewed that kid that was selling the water at the church, I was like, oh, this is what I wanted. But I think it was just like the way that it was marketed. I'm probably gonna watch it again, but it's like I gave it 3 stars on Letterboxd, but you know, it was just I was hoping for more.
It's probably a different movie if you replace sort of the serious angle with Sterling K. Brown's character with a lot more silliness and silly characters and like just how absurd sort of mega churches can be.
It's right.
A kind of movie.
But you can still go there. Like you can still get serious. I'm trying to think of something. There's like dark, like Drop Dead Gorgeous, 1999. Yeah. Drop Dead Gorgeous was like, that was a film that, I mean, there was somebody who was murdered. You know, there were people that were getting killed in that movie, where it was just like
I haven't seen that movie in a minute, but yeah, I remember that.
The Kirstie Alley character, like my first real date, I was like 19 and I took this girl out. We went to see that. I went to dances and stuff, but like where you go out, you take a girl out to eat, you go to the movies. Mm. Yeah, I was stunted growth. I was a late bloomer. But the first that I remember, we went to TGI Fridays and we went to Drop Dead Gorgeous and then we laughed our ass off. That girl's
went on a date and we randomly saw
she's still hot too.
She's still hot.
Yeah.
We saw Memento. We didn't know what it was about.
That's a good movie. See?
Yeah. But now when you don't know what it's about, like
you
didn't know this was pre-internet.
Yeah.
It was playing at a time when we had time to do it between eating and we were doing something else. So we were like, oh, this movie. And we were both enjoyed it, but it was so random. Because I don't know if I see it so soon if it's that's not when I see it.
Right. And we're talking
now about
99?
Yeah, around the time, 99, 2000.
Yeah, Memento. I need to see it again. It's been a minute.
It's a great movie.
Memento. 2000.
It's a good one.
I was a year off. That's Nolan, right?
Yeah, Christopher Nolan. Early Christopher Nolan, Guy Pearce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about Drop Dead Gorgeous after I had watched it, and I was like, yeah, they handled darkness there, and it was still funny. It was just the tone shift that was just kind of like, oh, all right.
But I need Sterling K. Brown and more things, him and Regina Hall both.
Oh, they're great, man. That's why there needs to be more stuff. It's, and I think the homies on the Firestarter crew, they on the pod this past week, were just talking about, why do these black women have to wait till they're fucking 50 to get something where, like, I mean, she did Support the Girls, which I've been championing that movie for. It nothing really, something happens in that, but nothing really happens. But it's a nice character study, you know? It's just like a slice of life type thing that I thought she was terrific in. And these two movies, both of these movies were like, the earlier in the year, critics were like, oh my God, Master. The joint that she was in on the Amazon.
Yeah,
That kind of fell short. And then this one was kind of like, but she's great in everything she's in. I hate the fact that she's going to work till she doesn't want to work anymore. Yeah. But I kind of rue the fact that she could have been doing way more. Yeah. It's so fucking weird that these black women, I think it's a shift now, and you can talk about how you feel about it. Because, you know, like, one thing about these white starlets that people make fun of, that Rod makes fun of me for, it's, you get to see an evolution and you can track them. I think you can see that a little more now with a lot of these young black girls, because they're coming too. You know, it's not just like a, you know, Zendaya, Kiki Palmer,
Taylor Russell, Taylor Russell.
Yes. Who's in that cannibal movie? That's going to be weird as fuck.
Yeah. Give them all that. Give me some weird shit like that.
Yeah. I'm excited to see. I mean, I'm seeing it just because she's in it.
Yeah.
And Chalamet's fine, you know, but Taylor Russell, like seeing her do the sick cancer movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's just like, oh yeah, she's great in this.
Yeah.
And again, suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
I think was her character in that movie where, like, she was like an outcast or something. I don't know if she was an outcast.
Oh yeah.
I'm trying to think of that movie.
Talking about this before with Waves, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You get something like Waves. It's got Taylor Russell in it, Sterling K. Brown, what's our man's name? I'm spacing on his name.
Oh shit! That, oh man, we should know that. That's my guy.
All right, so we love him too.
Kelvin Harrison Jr.
Harrison Jr. Right? Incredible actors, right?
Yeah. It's a great movie.
But because of the cast, it becomes a quote unquote black movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you watch this movie, this is a movie about American life.
Yes.
And who's remarried, trying to build his family, and a son who's feeling the pressure of his father,
mm-hmm.
who makes these mistakes and kind of spirals out of control.
Yeah.
That's an American story, but people don't see it. People don't acknowledge it the same way because they see the cast like, oh, this is about a black family doing some black stuff. And they don't. And they have no idea. The movie kind of, it breaks halfway through and you're seeing it through his sisters. It's a beautifully told story.
Yeah, not the easiest watch, but I mean,
not easy watch.
I mean, it's like, it's so fucking great though. But
nobody won an award out of this. Like none
nobody, of, right?
Not a nomination, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's like, okay.
And it's an A24 joint.
Yeah. What do you want? Yeah, it's an A24 film. What do you want people to do? This is the thing you ask people to make.
Yeah. And we don't see it.
No black story, and then people don't see it, or people don't want to watch it.
The photograph, like Rod and I talk, you and I talk about it. Rod and I talk about it all the time. We're just like, oh, I'm there when the photograph comes out. You know, oh, Issa, oh yeah. You know, everybody's
people
like,
don't watch it.
Nope.
So. Like we were talking before the screening yesterday about Viola Davis, and like, I feel the same way about Idris. Like, Like, how come these incredible black actors don't have like a star vehicle? Like, how come Idris doesn't have like a Bourne or, you know what I'm saying? Something, give him something.
It's like, something that's not right, and I can't put my finger on it.
With him?
Yeah.
Because he's British, because you hate the Queen?
No, I don't.
We were talking about Viola. I was saying, like, okay, so she's older now, so you can't, you're not gonna make a romantic lead. So that's out. For most older actresses, it's out, especially in older
black. No, it shouldn't be. You should like, what's my girl? Sigourney Weaver is in a joint. What's the joint that Sigourney Weaver is in?
It shouldn't be, but we both know those movies are harder to make.
I know, but I just watched the trailer before I saw Breaking last month, and she's in a joint where it's like, it's like a comedy, and then it's another actor. I think is it Ed? Edgerton, I don't think.
Hey, my man, Joel Edgerton. But you know, it's hard to make those type of movies. Now, it's not that it's difficult to make. And so one of my critic friends, Aaron, was like, oh, well, you could put in, I would love to see her and somebody else, like I think Idris and something. I was like, but then that's a black movie.
Yeah.
And so then it's marketed differently. Like, it's a whole bunch of stuff they do to it to undercut the content of what we're watching.
Right.
And that's the problem. And it's still a problem in Hollywood right now. Like, look at Paper Girls was good, but super diverse cast.
Just got canceled, right?
Just got canceled. You know, you put one set of elf ears on a Negro and people lose their shit.
It just pisses me off because you do see these. I can't find the movie that I was looking for, but it might be like Kevin Kline and somebody like old white people finding love and shit.
Yeah.
Like, how come Sam Jackson and Viola Davis can't do that? You know what I mean? A joint it could be marketed to church people will go see it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like that demographic just off the top of my head. I'm just like, okay, maybe they would, but yeah, man, it could.
It's tough.
I don't know. Like,
this is a constant thing that I've noticed with these movies that I'm watching. Because I see on the back, and you hear about all these indie black films that are made. And so I show up at these screenings, and sometimes not a lot of critics show up. It's like, okay, you didn't want to come see The Photograph.
All right. But I will never get over that. You love Issa so much, and you love all these black actresses. You get mad during award season. It goes in cycles. I talk about it. I'm either talking about it with you or I'm talking about it with Rod. It's like every other episode. It pisses me off. Like, you get mad during award season when you don't watch these movies. You don't watch any of them.
You don't talk about
them. Right. And you're not talking about them. So it's.
But I'm thankful because, you know, you got people like Zendaya who are producing more things.
Mm-hmm.
Like John Boyega is helping with a lot of things. He's helping produce things. Johnny Kalua helped produce Honk for Jesus. Like,
right.
I think people are taking, they're putting a lot of their talent on that side of the camera and getting more things that they want to see made.
Yeah. That's what
they care about.
They're just defying Matt Damon at every angle. Because remember when Matt Damon said, oh, there's black people in front of the camera. They don't need to be behind the camera.
Like, right.
What Matt
Damon? What? Yeah. But that's the mentality. So I like that they're at least over the next few years, we're going to see more of that. And I think with streaming, too, because with streaming, you know, I don't know if you speaking to Matt Damon, him talking about streaming and movies and how it's difficult to make your money back now because you used to make on DVDs.
Yeah, he was talking to Bill Simmons about that, right?
Somebody, I don't know who he was talking to.
I think I did see a clip.
No, it was Hot Ones. He was on Hot Ones.
Oh, it was Hot Ones? Oh,
he was on Hot Ones. But so you're going to get people taking, it's a less of a risk to make a movie that's going to be on Amazon or on HBO Max or Netflix. So hopefully these studios will take chances on some of these films. The speaker. Brown, he's in a movie playing a tiff right now with Mark Duplass called Biosphere, about the two last men left on Earth trying to save.
Who is?
Sterling K. Brown.
Okay.
It's called Biosphere. It's him and Mark Duplass.
Okay.
So it's playing now. I hope that it gets some buzz. I hope this is the vehicle that launches him into doing something.
Cool. Yeah, I think he's great. He's fantastic. Yeah.
He's fantastic.
I think I may have seen him live in a play years ago in the city at the Public with him and somebody else that's really famous now.
What else have you been watching? What have you been watching?
I'm liking the Mike Tyson show.
Okay, I haven't watched it yet.
I know people are hating on it. My thing is, I don't like the older age makeup. I think that I don't think that was great, but I think my man Trevante Rhodes,
he's a great job.
I think he's doing a great job.
Another actor, like after Moonlight, you would think you would see him in all kind of stuff.
He's a great looking guy, so it's like you'd think that he would
put him in a rom com.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know why we're not doing that.
Like, I mean, we're seeing William Jackson Harper get a little, which is good to see him do like rom-coms.
But you know, back to streaming, that show he did,
Paradise or something?
No. The love show with the one on HBO.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Love Life, whatever. What's it called?
Love Life, season 2, him and Jessica.
Yeah, that doesn't happen on network television.
Yeah, that was fucking terrific.
But a terrific show. But
yeah.
That's the streaming show that they're going to just to do that. That doesn't happen on network television. No one.
They scared, young.
Yeah, they're scared. They're scared.
That was terrific. That was terrific. So good. That was great. Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah.
I think that Mike Tyson show is good.
I'm going to watch it.
I know he's like has issues with it and everything, but I mean it's pretty good.
Yeah.
If you liked I, Tonya, it's Black I, Tonya, because Craig Gillespie's behind it.
Oh, nice. I think
Margot Robbie's a producer on there. I just watched the first episode of Reservation Dogs.
That's funny.
I like that show.
Good show.
I just right before we started, I started watching this Suge Knight documentary on Showtime. Holy shit. Suge? The first 2 minutes, I was like, I was hiding under my couch.
What is it called?
Oh shit, what is it called? It's on Showtime. It's let's see, Suge.
Is it like a series or just like a
two? No, it's just like 86 minutes or something like that.
That's crazy.
American Dream, American Nightmare, KNIGHT.
Oh.
Mare. From 2018. I didn't know it existed.
I'm going to check it out.
It's pretty good. It's just him talking to Antoine Fuqua.
Oh, wow.
Like some interviews from, like, I think it said December 2011 through November 2012. Like, they did like a series of their conversations and, you know,
there's something about Suge that you learned that you didn't know.
Well, I didn't finish it all the way, but he left the NFL because they didn't start him. He was with the Rams and he was killing everybody in camp, training camp, and then they wouldn't start him, so he left, and he started like going on the road with singers and stuff, and
security doing that whole thing,
security stuff, getting in trouble, and. Then I'm up to like where he first starts Death Row and all that. So
that was a wild time.
I like it because it puts context to stuff when we were kids and we didn't have any, you know, we weren't cognizant of the stuff that's going on. But yeah, go ahead.
I said we didn't have the internet to sort of.
We didn't know when we were baby. We were 12, 13, we were kids. So we didn't know about all that stuff. But, we knew it was around and we were listening to the music, but. I just love the fact that we're at an age now where, you know, we have these documentaries and this content that kind of adds a little more perspective and context to the time that we grew up in, you know? So I like that. I guess that comes with getting old.
Yeah.
Now I want to get to one of the main reasons why I wanted you on this show this week. I want to talk about this film, Barbarian, with our girl, Georgina Campbell.
Yeah.
I'm liking
Georgina Campbell. One we did wasn't that great.
Yeah, Wildcat was not that great. That was not. I think I owe you about $8 for that. I should not. I think I owe you some money for that, dude. For making you watch that. I want to read the Google blurb.
Are we spoiling this?
We're spoiling the fuck out of it.
Bet.
Spoiler alert, I gave it 5 stars. If on Letterboxd. If you are interested in seeing this movie and you have not seen this movie, to everyone listening, stop the podcast. We've given you about 40 minutes of high quality podcasting, two nerds talking about movies and stuff. If you have not seen it and you're interested in seeing it, stop the podcast and come back later. Enjoy the movie. For everybody else that doesn't give a shit, I'm going to read you the blurb. Barbarian, directed by Zach Cregger. Some stay for a night. Some stay for a week. Some never leave. In town for a job interview, a young woman, Georgina Campbell, arrives at her Airbnb late at night, only to find that it has been mistakenly double booked and a strange man is already staying there. Against her better judgment, she decides to stay the night anyway, but soon discovers that there is much more to be afraid of in the house than the other house guest. Tim Hall, aka the People's Critic, what are your overall thoughts on this film?
I loved it. And I also, a tip of the hat to the marketing of this film. There's large chunks of this story that are completely left out in the marketing. But they know we can give you enough that's scary. We can give you a young woman staying at an Airbnb, this double booked, this creepy guy there.
Right.
Enough. And they knew that was enough, so they left it at that.
Pennywise is staying there.
Yeah, Pennywise staying there. And he's just, you realize the movie was like, oh, he's just an awkward dude.
Yeah. This movie, I would say, this is one of the best films I've seen this year so far.
Yeah.
You tell me Georgina Campbell is in a big time movie, or you tell me she's in anything after seeing her in Hang the DJ and on Black Mirror. I'm seeing it. I'm there. But the fact that this is a film that's getting pressed, like it's getting pushed out there, like mainstream, I'm there. All I say, oh, Georgina Campbell. Okay. I'm there. One of the best films I've seen this year so far. Reminded me, I really love that all the technical aspects, the cinematography, the shot selection, just the shot setup, whatever.
The editing,
The way that the camera moves. It reminded me of this video game called Until Dawn, the series that and more recently the game that just came out not too long ago called The Quarry, which is from this video game company called Supermassive Games, really just puts you inside of it. You're really rooting for these characters to survive what they're going through. Just the movement of the camera was fantastic. And some people who are real hardcore fans, horror fans, maybe like you, I'm going to shout out a black content creator, Movie Files, on YouTube. His name is Elliot. He's a brother from the Midwest. And he was saying it was very Sam Raimi-esque. He didn't like it as much as he liked it, but he didn't like it as much as we did. But I really dug this, man. And I love the fact that we had a black woman be the final girl. You know what I mean? And there were moments where I didn't think she was going to make it.
I did not.
There were audible moments in the theater. I don't know that I've had this in a theater in a long time, where the theater was maybe 20 people over it. I saw this in Dolby, which I was excited, pleasantly surprised that it was playing in Dolby. There were moments where I audibly was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't want her to die. But I would say you know, overall, I was thinking about this after watching it. I was thinking about Chris Rock's term, his Chris Rock's phrase in Big Ass Jokes. I think it was Big Ass Jokes when he was like fucking around with them white boys. You have to have suspension of disbelief to watch this movie where this girl rolls up in this Detroit, rundown Detroit neighborhood where it's the only.
But the setup is nice because she shows up at night and you don't.
At night. And you don't know.
You don't know. Until the. And it's, so it's creepy at night when he's up, he's mumbling, trying to open wine, trying to get her to drink tea, and trying to essentially say, I wanted you to be here so you didn't think I did anything to your wine, which is already off putting.
Yeah.
She goes home, locks the door, wakes up, the door is open.
Yeah.
Goes to see him, he's having a nightmare, a night terror. And she's like, did you open my door? And he's like, no. But you see the door in the background, like, move, the door to the basement.
Yeah.
But then so in the morning, you wake up, you're like, oh, this is the only semi-nice house. And like, it looks like it was bombed out, the neighborhood.
Yeah. And they filmed this in Bulgaria, but it's supposed to be Detroit. And there's been quite a few movies that show a Detroit that's like a dilapidated Detroit, a Detroit that's like semi-apocalyptic, like a movie like Ken, which came out a few years ago, where he's playing in an abandoned where. Anyway, I like the swerve because I thought this was going to be like a one crazy night type deal. And I like the fact that there's a swerve towards the what would you say at the end of the second act, maybe, or what would you say that was?
Where
we shift to Justin Long, would that be
the beginning of the second act? I think the third act is him. The third act, I think, is them
trying to get out.
Get out.
So we see Justin Long at the beginning of the second act, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. I like
I think he's in one trailer, but they don't explain his character.
Yeah. And we'll get to him in a bit. But I like the fact that it just starts where she just pulls up.
She's pulled up.
Right at the house. And it's just like, you don't know what's going on. There's this dynamic of, you know, if the situation was reversed. And this happened in a Katie Holmes movie that she just directed called Alone Together, which is a pandemic movie, which it was okay. But the guy, an Airbnb mix up. Mm-hmm. To where we find out that there's a rental company that's using Airbnb and another service to rent out. Mm-hmm. So it did get double booked. And where this guy, if the situation was reversed, if it was the guy, Skarsgård character coming, he would be and Shorty was there. She wouldn't let his ass in.
She said that.
Yeah, right. And I like the fact that they talked about that. You know what I mean? Like, and it I obviously got mad when she was kind of feeling this nigga. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, she's smiling, looking at his ID. She took a picture.
And I was like, you don't know what's going on here. Yeah. You don't know yet. And it was just that you, cause the movie's like an hour 40 something. Right. What is it? Hour 42 minutes.
Yeah,
but it seemed like I thought the pacing was great too, because it kind of just plays out like theatrical, like a play where it's like it's a lot of dialogue. I don't mind it, but I'm just like, when is this? I don't know. It took its time, but then at the same time, it was also paced really well, and it was. I felt like they were getting to something, but. And then the fact that we get another day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's morning. Oh, she actually goes on the interview.
Right.
That she has. She's a researcher for. Film researcher. And they're doing a documentary. What the documentary is about the music scene, right?
Right. In Detroit.
Detroit. And who's the Skarsgård character? What's his occupation?
He said he was part of some group that was like, in Detroit, and he was one of the guys who helped found it. And he was staying at the Airbnb to like get a feel for sort of the neighborhood. That's why.
Yeah. And so there she comes back, and then there's a guy, there's like a homeless dude comes back from the interview, and then her potential boss is like, you're staying there? You're staying in that neighborhood?
Like, yeah, it's not safe.
Yeah, she's like, be careful. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And she goes back, and there's this homeless guy chasing her. Looks like a bandit from The Last of Us. And he's chasing her. She runs into the house.
You telling her not to go in the house.
Tells her not to go in. She goes in. And what happens, Tim?
She's looking for toilet paper.
Looking for toilet paper.
Wanders downstairs to the basement. Finds a that opens a sort of false wall that leads down to a tunnel, that leads down a hallway where there's like a room with this disgusting looking bed and a camcorder. Camera.
Yeah. And then we find out that there's
She's
locked down there.
Yeah.
And then she looks at what do you call that little window in the basement? I guess you just call it the basement window.
Yeah. Look at daylight.
It's daylight, the little basement window. She sees Keith roll up. He breaks the glass, and they get out, and then they go.
He tells her. She tells him what she saw, and he's like, calm down. I hadn't seen it. Let me go look.
Yep. On some white man shit. I'll go check it out.
And she goes to follow him down there.
When do we get the nope moment?
Oh, that's the beginning.
Where she's like, nope.
Yep. When she sees like, and to me, it's a metaphor for the film, right? It's like,
yeah,
there's this false door and there's another room. And then like, there's another level. And then there's another level where there's tunnels. It keeps getting worse. And
that's
right. Like, oh, we think she's just staying in a creepy Airbnb. Oh no, there's a trap door. Oh no, there's way more crazy stuff happening down there.
Right. So she follows this dude down there. She hears Keith, the Skarsgård character, yelling, and it's really dark. She's got a flashlight, doesn't she?
Yeah, flashlight.
And then she sees him, and he's like, "Don't go back! Don't go back down there! Don't go!" What does he say?
He says something bit me.
But
the setup is his cries for help are so faint. As the audience, you think he's trying to lure her down there.
That's
the conceit. I'm like, he's trying to get her down there so he can, you know, do bad things to her. Yeah. There's something else down here, and then this whatever it is grabs him and like just real visceral, just like smashes his head against the wall like multiple times. It kills him.
It's like a cross between I'm not saying it just because I love this game. It looks like an infected from The Last of Us mixed with something from a monster from one of these supermassive games.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it beats his fucking, just slams his head against the stone wall, the concrete wall or whatever. And then it's just like, boom, that's the cut end.
That's a long driving.
And it's like the cut is just like, it's like, okay. And you just have to absorb what you just saw. And then they take you somewhere else and you get a whole nother shift where you see Justin Long's character, who plays this guy named AJ, who's driving along. What's that, like the Pacific Coast or something?
Yeah. He's somewhere on the coast.
What kind of car is that? Just like a convertible?
A convertible car. He's clearly having the time of his life. Gets a call from, it sounds like, his agent.
Yeah, his agent, his team.
About a show he's working on.
Yeah, he's a show that's supposed to premiere pretty soon. And they break the news to him that the show might not be, he is not going to be involved with the show anymore because he is being brought up, being accused of sexual assault.
Yeah.
And he's about to get canceled.
Yeah. And tomorrow the Hollywood Reporter's writing a story about it.
Right. And so that news breaks. And he's talking to, he goes to have a meeting with his accountant, and his accountant's like, dog, you broke, man. I'm not going to work with you no more.
Yeah.
I'm washing my hands of your ass. And he's like, well, I got some property over in Detroit, because he's from Detroit. And he flies out and he gets a call from one of his, I guess his manager or agent. Mm-hmm. And he's like, You're in Michigan. What do you? You're in Detroit. What are you doing there? You can't. You shouldn't be leaving the state, dog. And he's like, well, I didn't know that. I got to fix this stuff up. He's going to go. He goes back to Detroit to try to sell his house, which we find out is the Airbnb that our girl Tess, played by the lovely Georgina Campbell, where she's been staying with Keith. And he gets there and he's talking on the phone, gets a call from his mother.
Yeah.
And they're talking and they're asking him about, she's asking him about it. He doesn't even tell his mother that he's in town.
No,
I could never do that.
Oh man. I know.
I could never do that.
Like he's, because no one else has booked the Airbnb, no one's been there. So there's all the stuff. Right. You think there's squatters in the house.
Yeah. And he calls and he's like, nobody's been there. And he sees Tess's belongings. He sees Keith's stuff. And he's wondering what's going on. But he calls his boy.
Which is a crazy scene.
Which is a great fucking scene of exposition. It's so terrific. We find out that he tells his friend is like, hey, man, so I know what I read, but
I want to hear from you.
What happened? I want to hear this from you, man. And he's like, well, he's like, I fucked her. But I mean, at first she was like, no, but I fucked her. She wanted it. And then what did he say?
He's like a tiger or some shit. I was like, this guy.
Basically, he raped this woman.
Yeah.
And it plays out for the audience to be like, oh, you raped this girl.
Yeah.
So the other part
that we skipped, when he's getting in his rental, he's talking to his agent. He's like, can I just call her? He's like, yeah, don't call her.
Yes. Right.
Don't do that. He's like, but if I can just, he was like, yeah, don't have any contact with, that's not going to help.
So right. When
he gets to the bar drunk, he calls her.
Mm-hmm.
Apologizes if he did anything, and if they could just talk, and he'll apologize again. I was like, this guy drunk dials
this girl.
But we get another day, so he wakes up with another day.
Yep, get another day, and so we know he's a piece of shit. And Justin Long is good.
He's so good in it because he's likable at first. You're like, oh wait, he's just a shitty person.
Yeah.
But you're still rooting for him to not be murdered, even though he's a shitty person.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't care. I didn't care after I found out not to say like I'm a fucking like social justice warrior, but I was just like, fuck this.
He dies.
That's why I was like, yo, you raped this girl, and I don't want you around my girl, Tess.
Yeah.
I don't want you around her.
So he ends up The funny part, the film does a really good job of like injecting humor in these necessary things. So we've seen this horror that's happening.
Yeah.
Killed. We don't know where Tess is. We know it's something down there. And
right.
When AJ stumbles upon this sort of these extra rooms, he starts measuring it because he wants to sell it for more space.
Yeah.
So instead of being terrified, he's hyped. He's like got his measuring tape out. He's like, oh yeah, he's bouncing around. Like there's clearly something bad is happening. He seems
right.
It's unbeknownst to him. He just is like, I'm measuring the square footage of this place to try to sell it. He could Googles like, can you sell it? And like, he's like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
But that's when he stumbles upon a room that has a TV on.
Yeah.
A breastfeeding video.
Yeah. And he's like, that's weird, but just doesn't really register anything. And then
something pulls on his measuring tape.
Yep.
And that's when we get the full reveal of, are we calling this, is it a woman?
They call it the mother. They've been calling it the mother.
And it's a great creature design to have in the tunnel because she's so tall.
Yeah.
Crouched a little bit and her limb. Really long,
right?
The slow walk, and it's terrifying.
Yeah. When do we get the flashback to the 80s?
After he gets locked in, when he falls in the pit.
So he falls in the pit, and he's in the pit with his flashlight. He's got a little knife.
Yeah.
And just, then we see that Tess is in there and she just says, shh. And then we get the flashback. The flashback.
The '70s?
No, it's the '80s because they say Reagan.
Oh, Reagan.
They
do
mention Reagan, and they said we get later that it's like 40 something years ago.
I forgot about that.
Find this guy's name because as soon as they said Reagan, I was like, I guess that's supposed to be. And it's been like that's been a couple weeks.
Yeah,
it's been like a couple weeks that Tess has been down there. Yes, they've been, and she probably didn't even get that job. I guess she don't care about that now. But he goes back. Then we see the flashback to this original owner named Frank, who's doing who's shopping.
Yeah,
goes to stores getting baby items for kids, infants.
Yeah,
he says there's a baby on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets the woman at the store, the grocery store, drugstore, helps him out. Oh, you're going to need this, this, and this, and
gloves
and all this stuff. And
diapers. Yeah.
And so he goes to his car, and then you see him looking at this woman from somewhere, like from across the street. This woman gets in her car. He follows this woman to her house,
mm-hmm.
and he goes and he parks his car away from her house, puts mm-hmm. on overalls to pretend like he's an electrician. He knocks on this woman's door. Says, yeah, your power's. Power's mm-hmm. out and
checking
the neighborhood, and she's like, oh, okay. And he goes into her bathroom, cracks open a window.
He unlocks the window.
Unlocks the window so he can get in there later on the night. And we find out that this dude has been kidnapping women, raping them. They have the baby. He's raping the baby.
Yeah.
And it's this cycle of some crazy ass shit. And then because of that weird incestuous shit, they raise a kid. You get this creature called the mother.
Yeah.
And she just wants them to be
her children,
her kids. Yeah. And once we find out, we find out about this, we see the mother putting down a bottle into that cage, and Tess is like, yo, you just drink the milk. just drink the milk from the nipple, from the bottle. He's like, nope, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. The mother gets mad. She opens up the lock to the gate, grabs his ass out of that gate, takes him to that room, and she makes him suck her nipples.
It was disgusting.
And while he's screaming, and while this is happening, Tess is like, this is my chance to get the fuck out of there. And she makes the escape. She gets out. She calls the cops, and she goes to like this gas station.
No, remember, she goes to the window, which is one of my favorite shots. She's at the window, get out. And the homeless grabs her and pulls her out. And then it's a shot of, it's very, Sam Raimi-esque the mother is reaching out, her arms and everything looks so long in that shot.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He's just out to grab her, and she goes to a gas station to call the police.
And the homeless black guy, does he say, what is their dialogue? Does he say something like, cause I'm going to buy this movie when it comes.
He tells her not to go to the house. He said, he kind of gives her the spiel. Like, she comes out at night, so don't be here at night. Like, she's like, I have to go back there and save him. He's like, you can't, girl, you don't get out of here. She's intent on going back.
That's how you know she's biracial, because she wants to say
she's intent on going back and saving AJ. And he's telling her he's been, he ends up telling more later on in the film.
Yeah.
He tells her she comes out at night. This house isn't safe.
Right.
You should, and he says, I stay in the water tower.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at. And, it keeps me safe. And I'm there all the night, all the time. So what ended up happening was what I love is it's like a perfect depiction of police.
Yeah.
She goes to the police, and they're just unwilling to help.
Right.
They think she's a crackhead. They think
she looks at herself. There's a moment where she's like, I'm not a, what'd she say? I'm like, I'm not a junkie. I'm not.
The first thing he says to her is like, get off the car.
Yeah.
He's like, so they go back to the house, and she's like, trying to explain what happened. He's like, well, it looks like you just broke in here. She's like, did you not hear anything I told you? There's somebody in that house. There's somebody downstairs. Mm-hmm. They get a call if there's a shooting, so they just leave.
Yeah.
So she decides she's going to go in and try to save him.
Yep.
Meanwhile, AJ wanders into a part of the home.
A deeper part, right? Deeper in the tunnel.
He's deeper in the tunnel, and the mother sort of backs away. So I'm like, oh, what's in that door isn't great. He goes in the door, and it's all kind of stuff. And one of the reveals we see is the dress that woman wore.
I didn't notice that. Okay, yeah.
Because you never see him abduct her.
Right.
But he has like a stack of like sundresses and clothes from the women that they've abducted, and he's got a bunch. AJ decides to watch a tape. We never see what's on the tape. He's clearly disgusted.
Yeah.
And this is someone who we know is he's an R word.
Yeah. But he's in there with you said Frank, right? He's in
Frank. Frank is in there. Yeah.
And he's like an old, decrepit dude.
Yeah, he looks like he's bedridden.
Yeah.
He's looking for something the whole time. And AJ's like, what do you need? We got to get out of here. Thinking that he's somehow captive.
Mm-hmm.
Frank pulls out a gun, shoots himself.
Yep. And AJ
grabs the gun.
He grabs the gun, runs out. But then when do we get to the part where Tess grabs her keys? You think she's getting in the car to get the fuck out of there. But then she hits the mother with her car.
Yeah.
And then
she gets in her car, and then as she's deciding to, I don't know, ram the house or something.
Yeah.
Rushing out of the front door, hits her with the car, pins her. We think she's dead, but we know how these movies are. She's not dead.
Right. She's not dead.
To save him.
And she tries to go back out, and then, and then it's just like, what? And then he shoots her. She runs away. They run to the water tower with the homeless guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the homeless guy is like, he basically gives them more of a spiel about what's going on.
Like copies of a copy. This is kind of what you get.
Yeah.
And then like, how do you know we're safe here? I'm like, oh shit.
Then he says, I've been here for 15 years and ain't nobody. And right at that moment, the mother comes in and rips his arm off.
Like the fucking Kool-Aid man breaks
this.
And rips this nigga's arm off and beats him to death with it.
And I was like, oh, God damn.
This nigga went out.
the third black person in this movie
got killed by his own. I mean, she just ripped his arm off and beat him to death. So anyway, they're running. They run up the water tower.
To this water tower. And there's nowhere to go. They're trapped.
This idiot fumbles the fucking gun.
Yeah.
And just
a fucking Tiki Barber's the gun.
Yeah.
And he
drops the gun.
Yeah. And there's nowhere to go. They're cornered, basically.
And this is, I think, probably my favorite part of the film.
Oh, the fake out where Tess goes back into the tunnel to save AJ.
Mm-hmm.
AJ's got the Frank's gun. Mm-hmm. and she's running down there. AJ shoots her by accident.
Right.
And I'm like, what? And that's where I gave out that gap. Like, I was like, oh, shit.
Then I killed her.
Then I killed my girl. I was like, fuck this. Because I was like, fuck this movie. I literally said that. I was like, fuck this movie. And then she wakes up. AJ takes her to safety.
Yeah.
And then now we fast forward. We're back at the water tower.
Yeah.
What happens?
He realizes that she wants Tess and says, yes. Oh, you can't, you know, you want your baby, and just throws Tess off the water tower.
I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Just threw her.
I was so angry because you had I was like, yo, we have an amazing movie. If she had Georgina has to live. She has to live. And so she throws her off the water tower because he's a piece of shit.
Right.
And then you see the mother jump down, bionic woman jumps down, and then we find that she's cushioned the fall.
Yeah.
And then she wakes up, and she and then the mother beats the shit out of right. What does she do? She this that's a Last of Us move, right?
Yeah.
Like a bloater, when a bloater like could see, when the bloater kills you, takes Joel's face and like and just punches
like puts her fingers in both his eyes and like rips his head in half.
And he's gone.
He's gone.
He's literally canceled. He's the only person that's been canceled by cancel culture.
And
he's
then
not able to come back.
He's done. He's a dead man. And then the mother still wants Tess and is like trying to get her to go home.
And Tess don't want to go home.
Tess reaches for the gun out of view of the mother, shoots her.
Do you think that the mother knew that she was going to kill it?
No.
Okay. Okay. It kind of looked like it was a bit of an understanding, but
because you know, because we don't know what that. Obviously, Tess knew how to handle the mother for being there for what 2 weeks,
a couple weeks, yeah.
So somehow survived. So there's whatever bond, you know. Clearly, this mother wants to bond with the children. I think as long as you're not, because I think what Tess tells them in the beginning, like, don't do anything crazy, like, just be calm. As long as you're calm, I think the mother's calm.
Yeah, we'll
breastfeed and do weird shit and keep you captive, but like.
Yeah.
So Tess, you know, quietly reaches for the gun, shoots the mother, and limps away.
Great movie.
Great movie. Fantastic ending. And just Justin's character was such an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that he was in it.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, this guy's. And at the end, I'm like, oh, well, maybe he's going to try to redeem himself. I'm like, no, he's just an asshole. He tried to.
I love the fact.
But I love is he tells Tess like, oh, I'm so glad you made it. I didn't have any other choice. Like,
I love the fact that there was no ambiguity about that sexual assault. We know that he did that shit.
Yeah, he did.
And that was a perfect scene. Might have been the best scene in the movie, low key.
Yeah.
Just as far as revelations concerned. Just the way that they put that together. He was like, I mean,
whoever wrote it, like, that's how men talk.
Yeah.
Somebody knew that. Somebody was like, yeah, this is how dudes, this is how they explain it.
Yeah, he did that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I highly recommend this. It's 5 stars. One of the, you know, this is spooky season. So there's going to be tons of other, you know, Smile is coming out in a couple weeks. So that should be interesting, but
Halloween comes out in a couple weeks.
So there's going to be others. And then not to mention the onslaught of the fall movies and the A24 films that are coming out, stuff that's premiering now at TIFF and all these festivals we'll be seeing them. But right now for my money, this is, if you want to go to the movie theater, this is one to see.
Yeah. It's just 90 minutes.
Yeah. It's
a little over 90 minutes. It's in and out. It's paced well. There aren't a lot of wasted moments. I was never bored. There aren't any useless characters. It's kind of funny and grotesque and terrifying. And the director Krager does a really good job of building tension, like when they're in the tunnels.
Yeah.
Even when Tess discovers the room, it's just because you don't know what's in there. It's all tension. It's all atmospheric. That's believable. And she's just dumb enough that she believes she would do this, but she's a character that's smart enough that you think she could figure a way out of it.
Right, right. I love
it's
that
all she's just believable.
I love the fact that there's a woman of color being a black woman being a final girl, you know, and surviving that shit. So I hope this allows her to blow up, man. Georgina Campbell, like, she's done some stuff, you know, like, I guess Hang the DJ from Black Mirror was my favorite thing prior to this, but
she was on a show that was on
Broadchurch was good
on Amazon,
Apple TV. I didn't care for that. It was I wasn't fully, or maybe I wasn't fully paying attention to that shit, but you know, it was all right. I just watched it for her, but yeah, she's been in a lot of stuff, but I mean, this, I hope this propels her to be, you know, more stuff.
Yeah, and kudos to Zach Gregor. Let's do some more
from the whitest kids you know. I didn't know much about that. I mean, that I didn't know much about that show. So this is my first introduction to his work. But I'm looking for more from this dude. What a terrific movie. Tim, plug some stuff if you got it.
Not much going on. Got some reviews coming up for The Woman King and whatever else is coming. I'm just waiting for, I got my first sort of like award season DVD in the mail. It was whatever that basketball movie that was on Netflix with Adam Sandler.
Hustle?
Yeah, Hustle was the first one. So it's that thing where I'm coming
home. It's good.
DVDs. I have to catch up on foreign language films and documentaries. They're always the last of my batch to watch. So I need to do a bunch of that kind of stuff. But I'm chilling and ready for football season, ready for some video games, ready to have a good time.
Yeah, man. Dude, this was so much fun, man. I really appreciate you joining me again for this. Hopefully we'll have you back on soon to nerd out about some other stuff, man.
I'll be back on soon for sure.
Yeah, man. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. It's been a pleasure, as always, to have Tim on. And I hope you go see Barbarian. Let us know what you think. Tweet at us and all that good stuff. This is the everybody else's podcast. They get interactions. I don't know why why they don't ever interact with me. But, you know,
we'll make sure we get more interactions on this one. We'll
tag. Hopefully we do, but because I'm trying to be like those guys on YouTube. What did you guys think? Let me know in the comments.
In the comments down below. Like and subscribe.
Yeah. So it goes. But this has been a joy as always. Everybody, thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.